We're doing Mishlei. We're up to the 22nd chapter of Mishlei of Proverbs. And our shiur was dedicated tonight in honor of David ben Yosef, someone who sponsored the shiur, wishes him well and wishes him to join us here in the land of Israel together with the rest of the Jewish people. We await his presence. Hashem should bless him with good health, and we await seeing him here. So Shlomo Melech is telling us, Nivchar Shem Me'osher Rav. Having a good name, a good reputation, is more chosen than having great wealth. Mikesef u'mizahav chen tov. Chen, being a man of kindness, being a man who people like, who finds favor in other people's eyes, is more precious than having gold and silver. Why? Explains Shlomo HaMelech. Al ashir varash nifgashu. The wealthy and the poor, they've met with their lot. Osei chulam Adonai. God caused all of these. Meaning when we look at the wealthy, we think, oh, he must be so smart. When we look at the poor, we think, oh, he must be such a bad businessman. Life doesn't work that way. Life is a question of luck, people will tell you. Being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. There's a certain amount of intelligence you have to apply. But Shlomo HaMelech says, Osei chulam Hashem. God makes all of these. So that's why Shlomo HaMelech says, having a good reputation is more valuable than having wealth. Because when you have wealth, we say, yeah, God put you in the right place at the right time. At the end of the day, there's a lot of what people would call luck when it comes to being wealthy. There's intelligence. Shlomo HaMelech tells us to be intelligent about our investments and managing our money. But there's also luck. There's also the aspect that God says, I'm running the show and I choose who's going to be rich and who's going to be poor. But having a good name, having a good reputation, being a person that people like, that's not about what God chooses. That's about how we lead our lives. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech says, Nivchar Shem Me'osher Rav. A good name is more chosen than great wealth. And having chen, being a person that people, you find favor in people's eyes, that's more than having gold and silver, because that's something that you yourself acquire. Yeah. The wealth is a question of what God decides. But a good name is your control. What kind of life you lead. If you have, you lead a good life, you're a nice person, then you'll have a good reputation. Your name, the crown, we say there are different crowns in this world. There's the crown of Avodah, of serving Hashem. There's the crown of Malchut. There's the crown of Torah. And then there's the crown of a good name. And the crown of a good name is a crown which every person can attain. It's a question of how you lead your life, what kind of reputation you develop. So the crown of a good name, that's greater than the crown of wealth. Having a good name is that you can claim is yours. You acquired that. Wealth is something which you might have done a lot of things, but you know what? There are other people who did the same things and did not get wealthy. Arum, a person who has cunning. Ra'ah, he saw ra'ah with an ayin, bad things coming, vinistar, and therefore he took hiding. When a person can forecast what's going to happen, so he could cover himself. A person sees the market starting to crash, sell. If it'll go back up, there'll still be ample opportunity to make money. But if it's going to continue to crash, you'll just lose more and more and more. So arum, a person who has cunning, he sees when the bad is coming, and he takes cover. Uftayim, but the fools, avru, they pass through the situation which is looming, the situation which poses a threat, v'nenashu, and in fact they do get harmed by it. The word onish, we're accustomed to thinking of as punishment. But onish doesn't only mean punishment. Onish means any form of losing money, losing health, losing wealth. Onish just means something that causes a loss to a person. Ekev anava yirat Adonai osher v'chayim v'chavod. We know that there are different traits, and one of the traits is anava, being a modest person. And when one can be modest, then that will lead him to being a God-fearing person. The challenge we have with being a God-fearing person is firstly the challenge we have about limiting ourselves. If I accept that God is running the show, then I also accept that I'm not running the show. If I accept that God is omnipotent, then I accept that I have less force than I would like in this world. People are very quick to accept that God is running the show when suddenly things collapse. When one loses a relative, when one, God forbid, finds out about a terminal illness, then one can easily become very religious, because then he's faced with the facts. So long as one is running healthy and everything's going good and he feels like he's got his parnasa, he has his health, he has his family, then a person has a more difficult time recognizing that God is running the show and being a God-fearing person. How can one become a God-fearing person? The first step is to be modest, to be humble, to recognize that I have my limitations. I'm not capable of doing everything. And even what I am capable of doing, in essence, there's very little that I could take credit for. I was placed in certain circumstances. I wasn't born in a jungle in Zimbabwe being chased by gangs. I wasn't born in an Arab village out in Gaza. I was born in Jerusalem. I was born in New York. I was born in South Africa. I was born to an educated family. I was born to a Jewish family. There are a lot of things that are beyond my control that worked to my benefit, that got me here. Most of the things that got me here are things that I didn't do myself. I was placed in this circumstance. The source of modesty is honesty. The source of pride is lies. The capacity for man to be proud is his capacity to lie to himself, to take for himself, to take credit for himself, things that are really not to his own credit. The capacity for a person to be modest is the capacity to be honest. When I'm honest about how much do I really take credit for, then I start being modest. And that modesty allows me to recognize that God is the one that's running the world, and that leads me to Yirat Hashem, to being a God-fearing person, and that also leads me to Osher V'Chayvod V'Chayim, to wealth, to honor and life. The question here is, what wealth are we talking about? If we're talking about monetary wealth, then it's difficult to understand why a modest person will necessarily be wealthy. One can say that pride is what blinds a person from being aware of the pitfalls of life. When a person becomes too proud, then he becomes overconfident, and then that's when he starts falling. That's what the pasuk says, Lifnei Shever Gaon. Before a person breaks, he first becomes proud. V'lifnei kishalon, and before stumbling, gova ruach, a person has an elevated spirit. When a person's nose is in the clouds, he doesn't see the stumbling block he's about to fall on. So that's one possible understanding. If we want to understand that Osho v'chavod v'chaim is to be understood literally as wealth and honor and life, so then modesty also allows a person to be prepared to contend with the realities of life. There's another understanding that over here, the wealth and the life, etc., are a reference to wealth, spiritual wealth. When it comes to understanding things, when it comes to being a servant, a person who has attained spiritual heights, those things are also referred to sometimes as wealth, as honor, as life. And modesty is the trait which opens the doors to attaining all kinds of spiritual heights. Pasuk Hey. Tzinim pachim bederech ikesh, shomer nafsho yirchak mehim. Tzinim are thorns. Pachim are traps. The person who is an ikesh, he's going off the beaten path, so he might get into a thorn bush. He's not going on the beaten path. He might find his foot in a trap. A person who watches himself distances himself from that. So here you have the literal understanding. I remember once it was a Motzei Shabbos, and there was a Hakafot Shniot, Motzei Simchas Torah. So there was a huge line trying to get in, I don't even remember where it was, where they had Hakafot Shniot. Everyone was dancing, and I was a kid. I decided I'd be a wise aleck. So I went around, there was a place that was like a grassy place, and you could jump down from there to get to the main entrance. So I figured, I'll go through there, and I'll get to the main entrance. I jumped down and I didn't see that there was a wire. It was like a piece of a fence that was there, which I couldn't see in the dark. My foot got caught on the wire and I went head first into the ground. Needless to say, I didn't do much dancing that night. If you go on the beaten path, what? Oh, I'm embarrassed to say. If you go on the, I was a teenager. If you go on the beaten path, so you're not going to stumble. That's where everyone goes. You're going to manage. If you're going on a place where no one's going, so you never know what you're going to hit. So that's the simple understanding. Chazal say that tzinim pachim could also be understood as tzinim, like the word tzina, cold, and pachim is like boils when it's hot. So heat and cold stand in the way of a nikesh, a person who's stubborn. Son, take a coat. No, mom, okay, I don't need a coat. So then he goes out without a coat, and he gets cold. He catches a cold. If a person is an ikesh, if he's stubborn, so then he's going to have to contend with the cold and the heat. If a person watches himself, so then he'll distance himself from the cold and the heat. He'll watch the way he, where he goes, and to be dressed appropriately. Chazal quote this pasuk, and they say, "Hakol bidei shamayim, everything is in the hands of heaven, chutz mitzinim pachim, except for cold and hot." Meaning, things of nature, it's our responsibility to watch ourselves. You're going to walk out without a coat, you'll catch a cold. Don't turn to God and say, "God, why'd you give me a cold?" God says, "Well, why didn't you wear a jacket?" So that's one understanding in the Gemara, that tzinim pachim is a reference to cold and hot. And that's, you want to be stubborn, so you'll have to contend with the heat or the cold. Pasuk Vav, Chanoch lanar al pi darko. Educate the child, direct him, get him accustomed to going on the correct path, on his path. Gam ki yaskin lo yasur mimena. And then even when he becomes an old man, he won't leave it. People sometimes say today, they say, "You know what? I'll let the kid explore. And he'll decide whether he'll be religious, he won't be religious, he'll do this, he'll do that. Let him decide, let me give him a free life." And in truth, they're forgetting that by not teaching him what's right, they're not giving him a free life. They're making the default living like an animal. If your son walked home and said, "Ma, I want my cereal on the floor. Let's just pour it on the floor, pour some milk over it, and I'll scoop it off the floor. Maybe I'll lick it up like a dog." You wouldn't say, "Let me lead his own life." You wouldn't say, "Well, where's his work? He'll clean up after himself." You'd say, "There's a norm, and let him live a normal life." But most people wouldn't say that. If your son said, "Ma, I want to take my feces, put them in a bowl, and eat them for lunch." No normal person would say, "Son, sure, bon appetit," right? There are certain things that to every human being's mind are completely disgusting. Well, a person is supposed to recognize that God gave us a way to live, and there are certain things that God said are abominable. They're completely disgusting. And if I want to give a gift to my child, then I'll get him accustomed to the correct way of life when he starts. I shouldn't lead such an open life. He'll become a teenager, he'll rebel. Right, he'll rebel. But you know what? There are certain things that are in a person's blood. And the things that are in a person's blood, they stay even when he becomes old. Yishmael is 13 years old. His father's the wealthiest person in the world, Bill Gates. He's got a myriad of servants. And he just had his circumcision 3 days ago. The kid could barely walk. Think about it. I don't know, you didn't have your circumcision when you were an old man, but those of you who did know that it's not so simple. And you guys had anesthesia, and you guys had ECMO. And you guys had Optalgin, and at the end of the day, you guys know how hard it is after circumcision. And yet, when Avraham Avinu sees these three Arabs, who he's never met before, and he doesn't know them for beans, and as far as he knows, they're pagans, Avraham tells Yishmael, "Go help me, go get the cattle so we could slaughter it to feed these guests." Yishmael could have said, "Hey, Dad, why don't you ask one of the servants? Why don't you ask one of the female servants? They didn't have a circumcision. What do I have to get out of bed now in this scorching hot day and go bring the animals?" But when Avraham Avinu trained Yishmael from day one that you're good to guests, so even today the Arabs know that when a guest comes to your home, you have to treat him with respect. You treat him well in your home. What? In your home, you treat him well. Avraham Avinu put that in his blood. Chanoch lanar, teach the child al pi darko, teach him in his way, and then even when he ages, he won't leave it. It will be in his blood. Yeah. people sometimes think, if I teach him all the whole Torah when he's young, it'll be in his blood. Some will say, some won't say, the things that are really important to you, like Avraham Avinu when came to Achnasas Orchim, those will stay. Children sense what's really important to us. If your son turns on a light on Shabbos and you say, son, don't do that. And then your son plays ball near your vase and you yell and you say, what you're doing? You're going to break the vase. Right? He got the message. If I break the vase, you yell. If I turn on a light on Shabbos, you just say, son, don't do that. He understands what's important in life, money. I'm not saying you should yell about the light switch, but think twice about yelling about the vase. Think about what message you're giving your kid. This is one understanding in the Pasuk. There are many understandings in the Pasuk. And each one has its message with regard to Chinuch. There's a beautiful sefer from the Rebbe from Piasechna, Chovat HaTalmidim. And we have on the website, I started learning it with a guy who used to be in Machon Meir, and in the beginning of Chovat HaTalmidim, he focuses on this. What is Chinuch? And he has a whole section on this pasuk. So we went with what I understand to be what Rashi, the way Rashi learns this pasuk. But you should know that there's a lot. There have been volumes written on this verse. What is this verse telling us about chinuch? And much of the volumes written say differently than I just said. They stress other points. They say alpid darko means catch his nature and match the chinuch to his nature. Then your chinuch will be his second nature. They say chanoch. What does chanoch mean? Chanoch means get him accustomed. Chanoch means bring out his potential. Chanoch means fan the flame, the potential that's within him, catch the spark, connect to the spark that is his essence, and bring that out within him, the essence of holiness, the essence of kedusha. There are different understandings here. Okay, as you learn, you'll see this is one of the most famous verses when it comes to chinuch. Pasuk Zayin, Ashir Birashim Yimshol, the wealthy rule over the poor. The Eved Lovel Ish Malve, and a person who takes the loan is like a slave to the person who gave him the loan. So the simple understanding is that economics, you know what? If you rely on someone for your income, so to an extent, he is ruling over you. Chazal said that this is a reference to who is wealthy in knowledge. When you know and others don't know, then they are going to be reliant on you. They will come to you and ask you, what's the halacha? Can I do this? Should I do this? To an extent, you have control. A person has to attain knowledge, and when he has knowledge, then he will be the one that's running the show. Zorea avla yikzor aven, v'shevet evrato yichle. He who plants things that are sinful to others, things that are hurtful to others, when a person is unfair to others and that's what he plants, then that's what he will reap. Just like we saw in the Rambam today in Pirkei Avot, al de'atef tatfuch, you sunk others, so too you were sunk. The world comes around like a boomerang. So if you plant sinful ways, if you plant ways that are unfair to others, then you'll get them back in your face. Veshevet evrato yichle. And then the staff of one's anger will also ultimately be worn out. Person thinks, now I'm in control, so I could use my staff of anger, so to speak, the power that I have now to be unfair to people. Today you're in control. Today you're unfair to them. Tomorrow they'll be in control, and it'll come back to haunt the person. Tov ayin hu yivorach. A person who has a good eye will be blessed. Why? Ki natan milachmo ladal, because he gives of his bread to the poor. God says, he has a good eye. He looks out for others, so I'll give him more. What? I don't know. So, Tov Ayin, he who has a good eye. So, he gives with a good eye, he will be blessed. And Chazal taught us a few halachos from this pasuk. One concept is, when you have a guest, don't give him to take from the food. You take out the meat, say, here, have some. He's going to be embarrassed to take a larger portion. You, as the host, should give him a larger portion. You should dish out, and dish out with a good heart. So the Chazal said, when it comes to giving the portions at the meal, the host should be giving out the portions, because he will hopefully be giving larger portions. Garesh letz v'yetze madon v'yishbot din v'kalon. chase out the letz, the joker, and then you'll chase out the source of fights. And then you'll cease having situations, court cases, and shame in your midst. Sometimes people think, there's a court case, let me deal with the court case. Two workers come to the boss. This one says, he punched me in the nose. The other one says, he played a practical joke on me. Tells us Shlomo HaMelech, catch the one with the practical joke. The one who's playing jokes, he's the source of trouble. Don't look at the resultant. Yes, you'll have court cases, you'll have shame. Look at the source of the problems. When a person's a joker, when he's making fun and he's joking at other people's expense, so you should know he's going to be the source of a lot of problems in your office, in your workplace, wherever it is. Garesh letz, chase out the joker. Ve'etze madon, and you'll remove the sources of fights. Ve'yishbot, and they will cease being din, court cases, ve'kalon, and shame. Now, on a deeper level, this is a reference to a person's own yetzer hara. Sometimes a person thinks, why am I having this difficulty, that difficulty? Take control. Take control. Remove the yetzer hara. Take control of the yetzer hara. If we think through what we do, and we run what we do, and we do things according to the formula that the Torah gives us, so then we will find ourselves without the struggles, without the shame, and without, so to speak, the court cases with the yetzer hara.